We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. We will read texts 41 and 42. Sakyati matva prasabham yad uktam. He Krishna he yadava he sakyati. Ajanata mahimanam tavedam. Maya pramadat pranayena vapi. Saka, friend, iti, thus, madhva, thinking, prasabham, presumptuously, yat, whatever. Mukta. Okay, I will read the translation purport. Don't worry, by the time translation and purport by His Divine Grace Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all these offenses. Purport: although Krishna is manifested before Arjuna in his universal form, Arjuna remembers his friendly relationship with Krishna and is therefore asking pardon and requesting Krishna to excuse him for the many informal gestures which arise out of friendship. He is admitting that formally he did not know that Krishna could assume such a universal form, although Krishna explained it as his intimate friend. Arjuna did not know how many times he may have dishonored Krishna by addressing him, O my friend, O Krishna, O Yadava, etc., without acknowledging his opulence. But Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as a friend. Such is the transcendental loving reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. The relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten. As we can see from the behavior of Arjuna, although Arjuna has seen the opulence in the universal form, he cannot forget his friendly relationship with Krishna. It's a very nice verse. It's maybe better related with Kartik month. It speaks about a very intimate relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. And Arjuna sees the universal form, but he's not really so much impressed, so attracted, because he's attracted by Krishna in friendship. So they have this relationship. And I think we spoke about this last time, how you can understand that Krishna is like a president who has friends. So the friends of the president, they don't think of him as a president. They think of him as his friend. So similarly, Arjuna is also thinking, Krishna is my friend. He is God, but he's my friend. And he doesn't take this God part so seriously. So this, as I already said last time, we should not try to imitate. Because if you're not friends of the president, if you go to the president and say, hey, what's up? That's probably some guards of the president will tell us, hey, you know who he is, behave. So we can see same thing in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumara goes to Mathura in the spiritual world. And he sees Krishna. And first reaction when he sees Krishna, because he, Gopakumara, his original identity is that of a cowherd boy. So cowherd boys, they play with Krishna. So the when first thing when he sees Krishna, he goes to Krishna, but Krishna is in Mathura, he's king. He's on a royal throne, and Gopakumara goes and runs and says, "Hey, what's up?" You know, like this kind of playful friend, and everybody there is like, "Wait, wait! You, Krishna is king. You don't behave like this here." So this is for Gopakumara, it was okay to behave like this, but maybe for us it will not be so. So appropriate, if you see Krishna. And then we can think, maybe what is our spiritual identity? Because for Arjuna, he's eternal friend of Krishna. And we find that Gopakumara is Sarup, I think. It was his name in Vrindavan. So that was his identity. And so he was eternal friend of Krishna. But what is our identity? So to start to find out what is our identity, we start with Jivara Svarupahoya Krishnara Nityadasa. So first, before everything, we are Krishna's servants. This is something very practical. Practical and with some practical consequences. Because we all want to be happy, no? Everyone wants to be happy. You ask people, do you want to be happy? Yes, 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 yes. Of course, they will not say that they are unhappy, but that's another topic. Anyway, the pleasure principle, if you want to be happy, people nowadays, they think how to be happy. I will get so many things for myself. I'm in the center. And I will get this car, this, and that's, then I will be happy. And we understand from the Vedic literature that no, this is not the way to be happy. The way to be happy is to make Krishna happy. You think, what will make Krishna happy? How can I behave in such a way to make Krishna happy? And then I will be very happy. Then I will find the real happiness. But this is somehow counterintuitive based on what we, on the society we were raised in, let's say. But it's true, and it's practical. You try to please Krishna, and then you're very happy. And in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is thinking of one of the reasons of for not finding is enjoyment. He says, "Okay, if I do this, I will not enjoy. I will fight in this battle, and I will not enjoy. It will not be enjoyable." And Krishna says just the other way around. You do your duty, then you will enjoy. You do, you serve me, then you do your service, then you will enjoy. It's a simple principle. And if we understand that the way to be happy is to do our duty, then we have to find out what is our duty. I mean, okay, I have to do my duty, but what's my duty? So we are following a school which is started by Lord Chaitanya himself, and he gives some instructions. And so I'll read a bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So first is it's the very famous episode with the Kurma Brahmana. But I will read a few more verses from that chapter. It's about Lord Chaitanya's tour in South India. So, yeah, I will just read the translation. the Brahmana begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, kindly show me favor and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life." So this is the proposal by the Kurma Brahmana, and we know the answers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Don't speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always." So this is one part of the instruction. And the second part is, "Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land." So then he said, then he says something else. And then you will say, okay, this is the instruction for Kurma Brahmana. Yes, that, this is for him. And for others, there's something else. And then we find something, what he said to the others. So he it says, "At whosoever house Sri Chaitanya accepted his alms by taking prasadam, he would convert the dwellers to his Sankirtan movement and advise them just as he advised the Brahmana named Kurma." While on his tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spend the night at a temple or on the roadside. Whenever he accepted food from a person, he would give him the same advice he gave the Brahmana named Kurma. He adopted this process until he returned to Jagannath Puri from his South Indian tour. So this is something he told everyone in his South Indian tour. Even there's also in this chapter is the lila of the leper Vasudev. So Lord Chaitanya cured him. And after he was cured, there's it's described, "Being meek and humble, the Brahmana Vasudev worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To protect the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him what advice? What do you think? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. By doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudeva to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee." So this whole South Indian tour, Lord Chaitanya had one message for everyone. Yeah, please chant Hare Krishna and give this message to everyone. So it was not just Kurma Brahmana, it was everyone he met. So this is what also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was doing. I don't know if he was doing with the others, but first time when he met Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada went to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And he gave dandavats, he prostrated, and when he got up, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, "You are an intelligent young man. Why don't you preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in English language?" First time they meet, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj looks at him and he says, "Why don't you preach the message of Lord Chaitanya?" Instantly. And probably you can think that probably Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told this to some other people. But Srila Prabhupada took it seriously. He thought, wow, this is what I should do. So, further going to our days, once they ask, it was Srila Prabhupada was in his late years before departing, And someone asked, who will be your successor? Who? Because in India they are they have this they are very accustomed to this system that you have to have an acharya and you have to name of someone. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, all of them are my successor. And how all of them? And as far as they follow my instructions, they are my representatives. So they are bona fide. So Srila Prabhupada didn't say, oh, Tamal Krishna Maharaj is my successor. No, this is my instruction. If you follow the instruction, you are bona fide. He didn't say, oh, this person, this or this person. This person, okay, maybe now he follows, but if he doesn't follow anymore. So, this is the history of our sampradaya. So, we had some discussions about how to increase your faith. And one way, maybe very important way to increase your faith is that you see some magic. You see something that something works. No? If you see some magic, you see, wow, this Krishna consciousness is really working, you know? And there's one way to see this magic. Yeah, it's so many devotees. I mean, there's probably other ways, but one way is to go out and preach. So you will see magic. It's sometimes some things happen that you think, wow, is because preaching, especially now we're preparing for Prabhupada Marathon. So you go on the street and you go for Sankirtan. And this is really happiness in the mode of goodness or transcendental. And happiness in mode of goodness is that in the beginning it's not happiness. in the beginning it's poison. Because if you go from a material perspective, why would you go for Sankirtan? I mean, you have, especially in December, it's cold, you go out on the street, and you want to distribute some books to some people who don't want these books. So, they are just, if you go here in the center, they'll see they're like, running around, you try to stop them, they're like, no. So there's no reason, but still the devotees do it, and sometimes they come from Sankirtan and they are really happy. They're like, wow, how was it? Nice. Yeah, this is Bhakta Marko was telling me about his experience in Maribor, that some boss was coming to him and asking him, how come he's staying since 2 weeks already on the street, everyone is ignoring him, and still he's so convinced, so focused, so every day he's coming, and why? It's you cannot understand this. This is, with a material vision, you cannot understand. Why would he do this? I mean, but there is some... there is some reason. There is some taste. I met so many people who told me about their Sankirtan experiences, even if they were not Sankirtan devotees anymore. You know, like I met one guy in one Indian devotee. He was favorable. He was not so much devotee, but he participated in Gita Jayanti in India. And it was so interesting for him that when he saw me on the street, I was wearing a dhoti, And he came to me and he said, wow, you know, Gita Jayanti, it was so nice and I'm so happy to see you because you remind me of that moment. This is the highlight of his life, you know. He wasn't a devotee. He never became a serious devotee. But this was the highlight of his life, you know. Like, this was the most pleasant moment in his life when he was in distributing books. They were distributing Shastradana, but it was really this, and just because I reminded him of this moment, he was so happy to see me. I see some, there are some other devotees, there are some devotees who told me their experience like 20 years ago, you know, when I was distributing these books and we were going to this city. And it was cold, and there was no heating, and there was the water was not pure, because it was really contaminated, and all this experience, and then you hear this again, and you meet that devotee, and he tells this again and again and again and again and again, and you're like, why? Because this was nice moment, you know, this was really happy moment. You know, and then you can see that. I mean, there's some happiness in Sankirtan, and there's some magic happening. You can see this principle that you try to please Krishna and you find some pressure. This is working. Sometimes Krishna is like he likes to play. So he likes to play with his devotees. Like so many times we were preaching in another city and we were distributing books and doing Harinam, and we didn't have too much money. We were really short on money. Yeah. So we would rent something, so we had some expenses, and we at the end we were going for just 4 days per week or something like this. And we were going from Monday to Friday or something like this. So Monday evening we were counting the money. Wow, minus, Tuesday minus, Wednesday minus, Thursday minus. And Friday, you know, everyone, some people would come and give donation and take lots of books, and, you know, and just when you were like, oh, this is impossible, then Krishna comes and he's like, no, wait, I send these people. And you would we were distributing always, I don't know what was, but Fridays we would just, you know, like distribute lots of books and everything was settled, you know, money for the gas, for the everything. It was fine, yeah. Oh, finally. So he likes to play. I saw this in Ljubljana here. I was one day, I was, it was a really bad day. I was just trying to speak with people. No one, they were not really interested. I distributed a few books, but more like, you know, pushing them into, please take these books and please. Yeah, and after all this, I was like, this is enough. I am going home, you know. But then I said, okay, look, it's 5:30, so I'll stay until 6. And 6, I go. Yeah, this is one method I sometimes use to control the mind. And then I say, okay, fixed time. Okay, we go out, we stay 2 hours, and then we go home. But before 2 hours, no discussion. We're not going. Whatever happens, we're not going, because the mind is very good at giving some instruction, some ideas. As a side topic, once I was distributing some books and I went out. It was maybe I was since half an hour or something like this. It was a bit cold. Yes. And I already distributed a few books, like 7, 8 books. So it was good half an hour. And the mind started to say, why don't you we go home? See, the people are not even interested. It's horrible here. It's no, we should really go home. And then I find it, I see this thought, you know, and then I step a bit back and I was like, wait a minute. I'm since half an hour and I distributed 7 books. What do you want? I mean, this is great. I mean, this is fabulous. So then I was like, okay. Good. We can stay a bit more. Yeah? So always the mind is giving some stupid reasons why you shouldn't be there. But if you stay, even if you analyze these reasons, it's really funny, you know. You look at these reasons and then you're like, it's funny, it's not even true, you know, like. So anyway, yes. Yeah. So this evening in Ljubljana, so I was, it was 5:30, I was still struggling. Yeah, maybe I distributed one more or two more books. And then 6:02, I stopped one couple. So I said, okay, let's try. So they were like, okay, very nice. And then this book, what's this book about? What's this book about? So they took a couple of books. They gave a good donation. And so like, okay. So then I said, okay. My day was not in vain, you know. So Krishna is really, really good at pushing you to the limit, you know. And then when you're at the limit and you're like, oh, this is too much, then he said, okay. Yes, some mercy, something. We will give you something. And this doesn't even have to do have something to do with how many books you distribute. You know, many times I went out and people were nasty, or in a hurry or whatever, and they were just not interesting. And you're just trying, you know. Okay, please take a book. Please stop. Try to stop whatever you. And after some time, You just discover you didn't distribute any book, but you're in ecstasy, you know? You had this moment. Really? Yeah. It happens, you know, like everything outside is, you shouldn't be in ecstasy, but somehow Lord Chaitanya is pouring some mercy, and then you're like, wow. Yeah, if you go in Sankirtan, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a pure mercy, because the pleasure principle is not that you distribute this book, this number of books. The pleasure principle is that we satisfy Srila Prabhupada. We satisfy Lord Chaitanya, and if Srila Prabhupada is happy, if Lord Chaitanya is happy, then we will be also very, very happy. That's what we can learn in from Sankirtan, that from material point of view there is no reason to go in Sankirtan. No reason. But from a spiritual perspective, it going out on the street in the cold and trying to sell books that people don't want. It is the most happiest experience of everyone. So if you do this, then you will be like these people, like that were participating in a marathon, or that they will talk their whole life about, wow, you remember that marathon? Wow, this was so nice. So yeah, this is a unique opportunity to experience this. So I didn't find. If you didn't read this book, you can read it. I don't have some time to read from this today. So, yeah, just to finish, now there's a Prabhupada Marathon, so please try to, this is my humble request, please try to participate somehow in this Prabhupada Marathon. There's first with consciousness, with our consciousness, and then we can go out, we can do Harinam, we can do many things, we can cook, we can... it's important that with our consciousness we participate in this Prabhupada Marathon. And then if everyone participates, then there is such a nice atmosphere in the temple that, it's wonderful. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. If there's some comments, questions, complaints. Okay, thank you so much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.